Thank you, Tim. I can tell you just how long you've known me, because it was in December of 1992 that I first came to the Celebration Center, and you and Suzanne were sitting in the front row that day. And Ed and Diane were here, and Duke was here. It's been a long time that I've been affiliated with this center, although I haven't been here on Sunday morning for a while, because I do other things on Sundays now. It's great to be back. I see many familiar faces here, and I see many new faces, and that's exciting to me. I loved it when Lori asked me to speak and told me that the theme this month is cultivating emotional wisdom. And so I got to think about what emotional wisdom meant to me. And I had a handout, and Jen said she'd put the handouts out. So Jen will be passing that out to you. I'll be talking about it, because I wanted to be respectful of the time. I have 15 to 20 minutes to talk and pray. So I have a lot to say to you in a short period of time. And I'm a teacher. As a practitioner, I'm a teacher. And I love to give people things that they can take home and digest more fully if they feel like it after I speak, if I inspire that. So I hope I inspire you to be curious about what I've said today. Because to me, if I think about cultivating emotional wisdom, I think about David Hawkins' map of human consciousness, which is what you're being handed. And if you'll notice, on the map of human consciousness, which you will all have shortly, one of the columns is emotion. And various levels of consciousness translate in human beings as different emotions. So people who live at the level of fear feel fear. They feel anxiety, they feel worry, they feel traumatized, they feel panicky. People who live at the level of courage feel like they can cope and they have hope. People who live at the level of understanding and reason feel like the world is a manageable place, and science can teach us about how the world works. People who live at the level of love feel love, unconditional love, not love related to this wonderful person that came into my life in this moment and smiled at me, but love for being, love as being. And that essence of love is a very powerful place in consciousness. Now, I started in Science of Mind. It was a little scary to realize that I started studying Louise Hay 30 years ago. And Louise Hay was my first introduction to Science of Mind. Louise Hay was a Science of Mind practitioner before she wrote the book, You Can Heal Your Life. And she inspired me. She showed me that there was a different way to look at God and at life, and that it was possible to manage life. And that felt really inspiring to me, because I came from a place where, if you look at the map of human consciousness, I came from the place of fear, which is 100 on this scale of 1,000. And on this scale, everything below courage is victimization. Whether you're angry or afraid or feeling shame or guilt, you're in that victim place where somebody else has the power in your life and you're trying to force things to happen. Above 200 courage, you're at the place of power, where you are empowered to take control of your own life, your own experience, and move forward in what you want to do in your life, in what you want to feel, in what you want to have, in who you want to be, how you want to show up in the world. That's very powerful. But I didn't start out there. I started in fear. And I wanted to show you what Science of Mind can do to your consciousness if you open to it. So I'm going to tell you some of my story. And I don't usually do that. I try to be humble. And yet, a friend of mine went to the Louise Hay workshop for writers recently, and Cheryl Richardson said, if you write a book, tell your own story, because that's what makes you unique in the world. And so I am honoring my own journey by telling you about my experience with Science of Mind over 30 years today. So I started out my life in fear. And because of Law of Attraction, I managed to manifest lots of things to be afraid of. And ultimately, I was in a relationship that was quite abusive. And at one point, I was laying on the floor, and my husband was standing over me, threatening to kick me. And he told me that if I ever left him, he'd kill me. And I lay there on the floor and looked up at him, and I thought, I don't think much of myself, but I know I deserve better than this. And that was my turning point from fear to courage. And it took me 6 months to organize my life so that I could get out of that relationship. And I finally recognized that I would rather die than continue to live in fear. And so I had to challenge that threat to say, yes, I will go live in courage, and I will claim my own life. And 2 days after I left him, I went to a divorce support group that was being offered, and I met the woman who introduced me to Science of Mind. It was like as soon as I claimed freedom from victimization, I was led to the perfect place to find that consciousness upliftment. And I began to move up the path in order to experience these higher levels. So when you're at fear, you see God as punitive. When you're in anger, you see God as vengeful. When you get to courage, you see God as permitting. You can have a good life. God wants you to have a good life at the level of courage. At the level of willingness, God is inspiring. At the level of reason, God is wise. And we are talking about cultivating emotional wisdom. So when we talk about cultivating emotional wisdom, we're running kind of at the level of reason. And science of mind is the level of reason, science. Ernest Holmes said, explore life. Experience these laws and practice them in your life and see what happens. Life is an experiment. You can figure it out. You can test it and see how it works. You can move with it. And I heard this morning that you're offering a foundations class next week, and I tell you, foundations changed my life. It was called Science of Mind 1 25 years ago, but it really changed my life because I got to understand that God wasn't some punitive thing. God was an energy. God was law. And I really grabbed on to that intellectual understanding of God. That really spoke to me in those days because I wanted to know. I had this strong desire to know. And I can remember reading the Science of Mind textbook and getting to the part where Ernest Holmes says, and the presence is warm and pulsating and loving. And I thought, that's not law. I liked that emotionless stuff. I liked the intellectual stuff because I felt safe in that neutral zone of intellectual understanding of God. Knowing was what I wanted. And I found that in spades in Science of Mind. It fed my desire for knowing. But after 15, 20 years, I knew a lot. And I'd had some spiritual experiences. Ernest Holmes said something really powerful about spiritual experiences. He said, the only prophetic thing that can ever happen to you and me is not to read, just read. what others have done, but somehow or other taking that as an example to do the same thing. And so I wanted to feel. I wanted to transcend that knowing and move from the knowing place, the reason place, into the love space. I wanted to know God as love. And I did everything I knew how to do, including, I'm a writer, so I wrote. I took a notebook, and every day for 6 months, I wrote in the notebook things that I love. One day I wrote 39 pages of love. I love life. I love beauty. I love the sky. I love lobster. It didn't matter. Just whatever I loved. I tuned myself to appreciation. And in June of that year, my friend Kate Hannigan, some of you know her. I met her the same day I met Tim and Suzanne and Ed and Diane. And that woman changed my life because she handed me a book called The Shack that talked about living loved. Living loved. And it says in that book, to live unloved is to be as a bird with clipped wings. And to live loved is to learn to fly, to learn to soar. And I wanted to live loved. And 2 months later, I began experiencing this conversation with the beloved that became my book. And I felt the love. I felt the love. And I wanted to give you just a short quote from my book. I was talking, I call the beloved B. That's my word for God now, is B colon, because that's how I write the conversation. C colon is me, B colon is the beloved. And B said, yes, we do love your life. But that phrase doesn't do justice to how we feel about it. We love you. We adore you. We delight in you. We pay attention to you. Remember when you were a kid learning to swim? You would call out to your mom on the beach, Mommy, look at me, watch me. And you felt frustrated because she was chatting with her friends and didn't turn to look at you. And B said, we were watching. We were watching you. We were always paying attention to you, focused on you, caring for you, loving you. Your mom did her best to attend to everything calling out to her for her loving attention. But if you look to the mortals, you're in trouble. Look to us. We are never alone. They said, look to us. You will always find that we are looking back. We were looking at you first. We will look at you first, last, and always. How does that feel to you, sweet girl? They called me sweet girl. That made me feel so good. I said, it makes me cry, B. You're starting to get through to my heart on a much grander scale. And that was the purpose of my book, to get through to my heart. And it isn't that you should read my book. Not just read my book, anyway. Because if you want that experience of feeling loved, you have to find in your own journey that experience of finding in your heart that divine essence. And if you want that essence, if you want that love, if you want that experience, then perhaps reading my book would inspire that vibration within you that would allow you to find your own way. You know, I started out seeing visions. Some people hear words. Some people just have kinesthetic feelings. We all have different ways of connecting to the divine within us, and they're all perfect. They're all beautiful. Your journey is your journey. But I encourage you, if you want to move from victimization into higher levels of consciousness, if you want to change your life in some way, take the Foundations class and find your own path to those spiritual experiences that allow you to master the emotions of consciousness and to live more in understanding and love and ultimately joy. That's what I wanted to share with you today. Thanks. So So I am asking that the practitioners and ministers surround us in the room as we pray. And so in this moment, we remember that God is present and God is love. God is also beauty and power and light and harmony and peace. And no matter which of these threads of spirit we pull, we find they all come together, for it is all one. And we are that. We are that love. We are that light. We are that consciousness. And this path of Science of Mind and the teachings of Ernest Holmes and all the magnificent teachers who have followed him are moving us to higher and higher levels of consciousness, to the greater and greater frequencies of beauty and grace and harmony and peace and love. We are love. We are loved. And the more we feel it, the more we can radiate it in the world, bringing understanding and caring and nurturing and support and reverence to all life. We are blessed and our paths are holy. And so I suggest today that we honor that path. Each one of us honor the path we are on. Honor the love that we are and the grace that we bring to the world, for it is good. It is so good, and I am grateful, and so it is.